Lake Effect continues on WUWM with more of Project Milwaukee State of Upheaval. I'm Bonnie North. In talking about the winners and losers that came out of 2011, public education presents a challenge. As with other parts of the public sector, the year came with less economic support, but with more flexibility over salaries and benefits. That is, if a district wasn't already locked into a contract with its teachers' union, as was the case in MPS, the largest district in the state. Alan Borsuk has some thoughts on how education came out of the past year of political turbulence and where it might be headed. He's senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School and was a longtime education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He spoke with Mitch Tyke and offered his analysis of 2011 in terms of education.
It's obviously been a dramatic year, and the landscape is very substantially different. But saying that, it's going to take a long time for this to play out, and I compare it to, in my mind, to the Iraq War, that we went through the shock and awe phase of huge bombs going off and structures collapsing, namely the teachers' unions, not quite collapsed but nonetheless taking an enormous blow, financial shock and awe for many school districts. But now the ground war begins, and it was a surprise to the Americans when it turned out the ground war was going to last all these years and be very difficult. And I think it's going to be a surprise to some number of people, many of them in the legislature perhaps, that the ground war is going to be slow and difficult and much more complex than people realize.
Safe to continue the earlier metaphor that the landscape may have changed, but the classrooms themselves are not yet that different?
In most school districts, the large majority of school districts, I'd say that's true. I don't think it's being felt in the classroom level. Some increase in districts in class size, but fairly minimal at this point. Some decrease in the number of adults who are in a building, teachers' aides, safety aides in some cases, music, gym, and art teachers, librarians in some cases. There's been a huge financial change in the wind, and even that's going to take some years to blow out. One of the really interesting things I did a few months ago is I went to visit a guy who does consulting for school districts, private firm, nonpartisan, and he laid out his financial projections for the typical school district in Wisconsin, not MPS, not some small. The first year under the Walker changes, which is the year we're in now, most districts were actually in better financial shape. By the second year, things were turning towards the red. By the fifth year, almost every district in the state was stone broke. So the first year isn't when it's going to be felt the most. What's going to happen 2, 3, 4, 5, that's when it's really going to get interesting financially.
You mentioned class sizes. You mentioned the number of adults in the building in a variety of areas. And a lot of this data comes from a survey that was released back in November that looked at just those things. And, of course, both sides contend that the survey backs up what they've been saying for a while. Democrats typically say it means the Walker plan isn't working. Republicans say it demonstrates a bias by the Department of Public Instruction. Do you think there's really anything that we should be taking from those specific numbers that came out in year one?
Well, my sarcastic first answer would be that this is a highly politicized process. So that's the first thing to learn, is that everyone was playing politics with this. But more generally and more seriously, I think if you looked at those numbers, it's pretty clear the belt is seriously getting tighter on districts. And to say that's not true is to ignore reality. To say that this is the end of civilization is probably overstating it also. But it's seriously tighter. And it's tighter in every district. One of the things that people didn't pay as much attention to was, you know, you had the total cut in state aid, but you had a really major cut in the amount per student that every district in the state, the richest districts as well as the poorest, can spend per student, what's called the revenue cap. And that includes property taxes as well as state aid. And that cut inevitably means there will be cuts, not only in the one-time or short-term solution of employees paying more for health insurance and retirement benefits, but ultimately in what schools can afford all across the spectrum.
The argument along those lines that's been made by Governor Walker and others is that the state was on an unsustainable path, including public education, and these areas like salaries and benefit contributions were just inevitable. But can you envision how things might have been different had there not been this seismic political shift a year ago? Was the state on an unsustainable path?
Well, let's put it this way. What if Tom Barrett had won for governor, the Democratic candidate, the mayor of Milwaukee, of course? I think he would have done a number of the same things. It was on an unsustainable path for many school districts. The cost of employee benefits, the commitment to retiree costs, Milwaukee Public Schools was heading for an enormous cliff. But they were only getting more attention because they're bigger. I think an awful lot of school districts with them. So if the Barrett administration had been in charge, I think there still would have been some very serious cuts in employee benefits. What there wouldn't have been was the attack on the fundamental rights of teachers' unions to exist and to bargain. And I think what would have happened as far as how WEAC would have handled it, a complicated question. There still would have been a lot of the financial changes. What there wouldn't have been was the political explosion. And I think it's going to take a while to see whether the political explosion was worth the price, even in the eyes of Governor Walker.
The shockwave was different in a district like MPS, which already had teacher contracts in place. Does that mean 2 years down the road, the impact on MPS will be less noticeable when the contracts are up?
I don't know what's going to happen July 1st, 2013, but the school board, at the urging of the superintendent, acted a month ago to sharply change its financial realities, to cut employee benefits starting whenever the contracts expire. Some of them, about a third of the employees, it's the summer of 2012. The two-thirds remaining, which is mostly the teachers' union, is the summer of 2013, to put in a three-year wage freeze, to increase retirement costs and health costs. It's a dramatic change that's coming in MPS. It's already come to a lot of other places. Will that help them save staff? I'm sure. But I don't know what the reality of MPS is going to be a couple of years down the road. They got problems on their problems, and it's hard to predict.
Well, and in terms of the problems that suburban and rural districts are going to be facing 2 and 3 years down the road?
They made the big steps, almost all of them this year, to the management and the school boards have all the power now. The employees, the teachers' union, some of them are going to phase out entirely. Some of them are just hugely weakened. I think your more enlightened districts are going cautiously on this because they want to protect their good teachers and keep them. There's a limit to how far you can go in alienating people and keep them doing a good job. And I think your smarter school districts are saying we want to protect good teaching. It's going to get tighter and tighter and tighter unless some new source of revenue comes on board or somebody else has some bright ideas. The economy turns up and state revenue, tax revenue increases, that would be a huge help. Even Governor Walker says he'll reconsider if things get bad enough and if revenue is okay. But I don't know anyone who's particularly optimistic about the state economy at the moment.
Is there a philosophical underpinning to this debate that's maybe obscured by simply the discussion of budgets? Are there more fundamental questions that are going to be asked as the ground war phase of this goes on?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And frankly, we spent this whole year not really talking about a lot of the issues that are really about what goes on in classrooms, teaching, and how students are doing in school. And that's going to come on the agenda now. It's already getting there. The governor and the state superintendent of public instruction work together on a reading task force that's going to make a report that I suspect will be very controversial, probably in January. There's a lot of work being done on a new school accountability system, a new testing system, teacher performance and teacher quality issues. These have really not gotten much attention in Wisconsin yet. And those are the issues, the quality of teaching, the quality of principals, the quality of what really goes on. How do we protect it with all the changes that have been made? That's the next wave, and that's where it's the ground war of very difficult, very slow, very hard to make progress. And I think it's going to be frustrating and complex for everybody, with the hope that good teaching and good results will result. But don't ask me for a forecast on that.
All right, but we will ask you to come back again as those questions get asked. Thanks so much.
I'd be pleased to.
Alan Borsuk is a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School and writes education op-ed columns for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, for which he was a longtime reporter. Borsuk spoke with Mitch Tyke. Political activism also increased in 2011. We'll talk with the directors of two advocacy organizations on the opposite ends of the political spectrum when Lake Effect returns with more of Project Milwaukee State of Upheaval on Milwaukee Public Radio.